Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the old Western ballad that was sung by Marty Robbins entitled El Paso, where he sings about a gunslinger who flees to New Mexico, and now he's being hunted down by the friends of a man that he killed. He dies in a, well, he shoots somebody in a lover's quarrel, but he misses his sweetheart, a Mexican maiden named Felina. He wants to go back to El Paso and see her again. But the line that he sings in that song is, "My love is stronger than my fear of death." That's why I bring up the song, because of that line, "My love is stronger than my fear of death." And this is something that we need to think about as Christians. Our love for Christ must always be stronger than our fear of death. And Jesus says in the gospel, "Fear no one. Fear no one." The early martyrs of the church, martyrs, in fact, throughout the past 2,000 years of the church's history, all of them gave their lives because their love for Christ was stronger than their fear of death. In fact, it was a deep, abiding love for Christ and all things holy and all things true that these holy ones died at the hands of the unholy who tried to kill the truth. Now remember, Jesus Christ is truth. And Christ was once dead, but he lives never to die again. So one may try and attempt to kill those who proclaim and live the truth, but truth cannot die. Truth does not die. This is why our love for the Lord, our love for our faith, our love for all that is noble and good, our love for our families, our love for our homeland, always must be stronger than any fear, especially the fear of death. This is so because, as the Old Testament Song of Songs says, love is stronger than death. Love is stronger even than the powers of hell. Why is that? Because God is love. Love is of God. God is love. And of course, God in love brings forth life. That's what God does. He commands that our own love be fruitful. For example, the love of husband and wife generates children, opens their lives to the good of children. And just as this way, the church as the bride, in her love for Christ the bridegroom, and our love for one another, bring about the good fruit of bringing souls to Christ and bringing Christ to souls, thus enabling the church to grow. When we do that, then we see graces begin to multiply. Good things begin to happen when people do things out of love for God and love for one another. That begins to transform the world. We must never, ever let any kind of fear keep us from living, keep us from professing, or keep us from spreading the Christian faith. There is no power on earth, no power even in hell, that can overcome or destroy the faith that has been given to us by Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that it's not going to try. It will. The devil has tried from day one, and those who follow him keep on trying to do whatever they can to bring pain, to bring suffering, to bring division to the body of Christ. And the body of Christ has suffered tremendously in the past 2,000 years, and it seems like it's about to happen again. The time may come, brothers and sisters. Time may come when you and I will be tempted, and tempted severely, to compromise our faith, or even exchange our faith for the wicked values of a wicked world. Otherwise, they tell us you're going to have to face the consequences. Bring it on. That's fine. I'll tell you why. As one old black grandmother once said, "Honey, if the devil takes something away, God's going to give you something even better in return." And it's true. So Satan can try to steal whatever he wants, but God will always give us something much better in return. Therefore, out of love for Christ, and with faith in his power to make all things work out for the good, we have to resist any evil that tries to encroach and destroy the faith. We must be strong, but be kind. We must be at peace, but we also have to resist any tyranny that attempts to call evil good and good evil. So as Jesus says, have no fear of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. That's fine. And remember that a body does not strengthen by surrender or by giving up and becoming lazy and complacent. A body can always grow stronger by resisting force with an opposite force. Any weightlifter can tell you that. That's how you get strong, okay? By resisting force with an opposite force. So in the words of the prayer of St. Francis, we must oppose hatred with love. We must oppose injury with pardon. We must oppose doubt with faith. We must oppose sadness with joy. We must oppose division with unity as brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe it's high time for us to start taking God's commandments very seriously in order to have the grace that will strengthen us to be able to resist evil. So what I encourage you as your pastor is this: to worship God. Worship God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't worship money, nor power. Don't worship status, influence, fame, or celebrity. Don't be hypocrites, but be honest in all of your dealings and honor your word that you give to someone else. Watch over your language, being careful not to be crude or vulgar or blasphemous in the things that you say or the things that you might tell. Always honor and respect your parents and your elders. Respect those in authority. Respect anyone who is fostering the good of the church, the good of the family, or the good of society. To honor those good and trustworthy elected officials who've been entrusted to govern for us, and to pray for them. Honor those entrusted to public care and safety, and to honor and respect our law enforcement, and pray for them. God is telling us not to murder, not to murder innocent life, whether that person is born or pre-born, sick or aged, not to kill another by our words or detraction. God tells us not to steal or to lie or to cheat, and never to glorify those who do, but instead to give, to be honest and trustworthy. God wants us to honor the sacrament of holy matrimony by keeping sexuality as a gift to be shared only between a husband and wife, and as an expression of love and union, and for the creation of a family to build up the body of Christ. That's why God did that. He's telling us never to be envious or resentful, never to be selfish or keep playing the victim. But God does tell us to mind our own business, to do our own work and to do it well, to be self-reliant but to be generous, and to share with those who are truly in need due to age or bad health or bad circumstances. As Christians, we're there to help other people get back on their feet again, but you know, there are some people that simply don't want to get up and want to stay down. We can't fix that. We walk away and find somebody that we can help. In everything, seek above all to glorify God. To glorify God in your speech, glorify God in your work, glorify God at your prayer, and to make sure that prayer is the very foundation and center of your lives. It's only through constant communication with God and opening ourselves to His grace that we can become transformed into a people in His image. And this, what I just told you, the fulfillment of the commands, this is how Christ brings peace. This is how justice is formed. As people in our nation, our world, are screaming out right now for peace and justice, well, there it is. That's how you do it. There's only one way. It's through holiness. Through holiness and goodness, through honesty and truth. That's God's way, not man's way. Man's way fails, God succeeds. You want peace, you want justice, it's holiness and goodness, honesty and truth. It takes an admission that yes, we're sinners, and we're guilty of having done things, but it also says that we must forgive one another as God has forgiven us, and to move forward. We must choose for ourselves and encourage others to stake our lives on Christ's, to carry our crosses, and to fulfill our mission in this world with the anticipation of glory in the world to come. This world in which we live, in its self-absorption and its sin, will hate us. It will absolutely hate us for trying to do what Christ Himself has told us to do. But it's okay. They've been hating us for 2,000 years. Nothing is new. The fact is, we're still right. We are still right. Not in a very arrogant or prideful way. We are right only because Christ is right. If Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and we follow his way, truth, and life, then obviously we are right because of him and him alone. If we acknowledge him, he acknowledges us. If we're faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. And his faithful ones he does not cast away. Why? Because his love is stronger than death. And our love must be stronger than our own fear of death. Christ is life. Christ is love. May we live that life and live in that love in the fearlessness that only Christ can give. Amen.